After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Loogie in the late night. Tommy Lugauer. Start, dart. You know, I haven't been to the movies a lot lately. And by lately, I mean really in the last like 5 or 6 years. Now, part of that is because my wife hates going to movies, and I can't really, she hates like most movies, so it's really hard to kind of thread the needle on something she'd want to see. That's number one. And number two, even myself over the last like bunch of years, nothing has really like gotten me to want to get up and go to the movie theater because we have streaming services now. I feel like the movies are already on the streaming service when they're still in the theaters. And only a couple of movies really call for the movie theater experience at this stage to me. Personally, I used to love going to the movies, but now it's like there has to be a certain type of movie. First is horror, which my wife definitely won't go see, because I think the part of the horror movie experience is dealing with everybody everybody getting scared, and they like it's part of the fun. It's like being on the ride. Like I'm watching a horror movie by myself on the couch. It feels kind of bizarre. You want to be around other people to share in the fear. That's the first type. The second type is anything that's like real big budget, you know, Avatar, that type of stuff. So I haven't been to the movie theaters often. I think twice in the last 5 years, believe it or not. So twice since 2019. I'm here to announce I will be going to the movies this year because I saw the trailer today for Avengers Doomsday. Now, I'm a huge fan of the Avengers series, really all the Marvel movies. I have seen all of them, starting with, of course, the original Iron Man, which I saw at the movie theaters in my senior year of college. And then, of course, my wife actually did come to this one, Avengers Endgame, which to me, Avengers Endgame is the greatest end to a series. Well, obviously now it's not the end of the series, but of that chapter of the Marvel story. It was the best end to any movie series or TV series ever, in my opinion. Ever. Like Stranger Things, and I don't want to give away spoilers, but I didn't think this isn't really a spoiler. I didn't think the final season was very good. I would argue it was the worst season of all five. The series finale was whatever, but I think that, and part of the reason why I didn't think it worked was they got away from Stranger Things and they tried to make it more like Avengers Endgame, except they didn't have anything that made Avengers Endgame great in the series finale. So it's like, if you wanted to go the route of Avengers Endgame, great, but you didn't do that, and you got away from what made, in my opinion, Stranger Things so great and successful. But Avengers Endgame had so many and it's been forever now, so if you haven't seen it, what am I going to tell you? But there was obviously a death of a main character. That was great. There was an awesome story arc, you know, at the end with Captain America, where he, you know, really got to do something that he always wanted to do. And there was just so many emotional, awesome moments, great stakes. What am I going to tell you? If you haven't seen it, you haven't seen it. They killed Thanos twice, so you get to see him die twice. So all that's great. So there's a lot of, like, fan service. Anywho, Avengers Doomsday, I saw the trailer. And if you haven't seen it, I'm not spoiling it because it's a trailer, but it's the X-Men are being brought into this movie, along with a lot of the other characters that we all love from the Marvel Universe with the Avenger movies. So it's Professor X, played by Patrick Stewart. And it's Magneto, played by Ian McClellan, and they're just having their little conversation, and that's kind of the teaser trailer. But I am so, to me, this will get me, because there's very few things, and maybe I'm alone, maybe you guys are out there like that, there are very few movies that are going to make me plop, you know, $20-$30, go to the movie theater, wait online, get the popcorn and the soda, wait for it, sit through, I mean, let's be honest. And I'll get back to the sports here because you know how I get sometimes. I'll go on these tangents, but I think it's necessary and I think it's relatable. I love movie trailers. I do. I'm talking about a movie trailer right now. And I think they're necessary. There shouldn't be movie trailers anymore, though, when you go to the movies. It served its purpose, a movie trailer, in the 90s, you know, in the 80s, when the internet didn't exist. So when I went to see a movie, I would be just as pumped up sometimes for the trailers because I didn't have access to any of them because there was no internet. So I couldn't see them. And I know everybody doesn't live on the internet, but most people do at this point. At this stage, it's 2025. You know your Aunt Rose has Facebook. You know your Uncle Louis has Facebook. Your mom's on Twitter. I mean, everybody, pretty much everybody has the internet. So I could see trailers. So I've already seen most of these trailers. Now I got to go to the movies. And maybe it's a 2.5-hour movie. And I got to sit there and it's 20 minutes of movie trailers that I've already seen, and then it's Nicole Kidman telling me to, you know, silence my cell phone and telling me where I could buy Reese's Pieces and please donate to this charity and shut up during the movie. I don't need that. Nothing against Nicole Kidman. I love her. But after 25 minutes of trailer viewing, I don't want to hear from Nicole Kidman to tell me to silence my cell phone. So the hot take here is we don't need trailers anymore before the movies because we've all seen the trailers before we get to the movie. But having seen that little teaser, Avengers Doomsday, which again, another spoiler alert here, but this came out Comic-Con San Diego. So if you don't know that Robert Downey Jr. is playing Dr. Doom, now obviously he was Tony Stark, Iron Man, in the other Avenger movies. He's now coming back into the Marvel Universe, into the MCU, as Dr. Doom, which is just phenomenal, like just tremendous. So if you don't know that, you're going to know that when you go see the movie, because when they have expanded trailers, you're going to know it's Robert Downey Jr., even though he's wearing a mask, and most of it, he probably will be wearing the mask. Gee, I don't know, you'll know it by his voice. So Avengers Doomsday, I think it comes out, December 18th. So I will get to the movies, I doubt before that, but December 18th, I will 1,000% be at that. And I won't be alone because these Avengers movies makes billions of dollars. Now, I got to give them credit, man. I don't know how you follow up Endgame. I really, like I said, I think it's the greatest end to a movie series or television series in the history of entertainment. The best. From a fan service, emotional, the stakes, everything about it. Just paying off, you know, story arcs for characters. Like I said, you got to see a major death, you know, the whole deal. That, to me, is the best. And everything now has to be compared to it, and nobody can compare to it. So for Avengers, and I know it's money, too, for them to try to top that, I'm interested to see how they're going to do it, but I'm a huge X-Men fan, too. I mean, I love it. 888, and Nightcrawler, by the way, is my favorite X-Men. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Nick in Westchester. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing tonight?
Good. What's happening?
I got two things for you. One, a potential Giants coach, and two, just an alternative word possibly for tanking.
Mm-hmm.
So in the event that the Bills have an early exit from the playoffs, let's say they lose on Sunday to Jacksonville, what would your thoughts be on Sean McDermott? He had a lot of success in Carolina with Cam Newton. He's had a lot of success with Josh Allen. And if he was to go to the Giants, obviously Jackson Dart's a mobile quarterback. So I wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
No, I'm not a big fan of Sean McDermott at all. I think he is somebody that has actually been a negative for the Bills. I think they've won sort of in spite of him because of how great Josh Allen is. If Sean McDermott became available, I would want no part of hiring him.
Okay. Even though he has probably, I'd say, whatever, in the past 8 years or so, one of the probably top five winning percentages.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No doubt about it. This is more to me of an eye test. Somebody who obviously has seen a lot of the Bills in the playoffs, and I just think he comes up very short. I don't like him as a head coach, and yeah, I would not be interested, despite the success that he has had, certainly in the regular season and getting to the playoffs. I think it's more of a Josh Allen thing there, why they're so great, than it is a Sean McDermott.
Okay, I don't really disagree with that. Second thing, another word for tanking, what do you think about hedging? It's kind of hedging your bets, hedging for the future.
Yeah, I it's a word, and I'm looking more for a phrase, and hedging already exists. I also don't want to take something that has its own life. You know, it's already a thing. Like, hedging is already a thing. There's hedging and gambling. There's Evan has created the emotional hedging. And hedging, to me, already has a place in the lexicon. So I don't want to then borrow a word or take a word that already has a place and then try to repackage it. That's not what I want. I appreciate the thought there, but no, that's not, I wouldn't go in that direction because of that. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Sean on the fan. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Loogie, congratulations, hey, man, on the show, bro. I've been listening to you for a while, and I love your show.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, man. You don't seem too hot on Harbaugh.
No, that's not true. It's not so much that I would be thrilled, and I think he should be right at the top, but I think he should be there along with Mike McCarthy. And what I've been trying to get to the bottom of is that obviously Brian Daboll got fired a while ago, and Mike McCarthy is unemployed right now. And nobody really outside of me that I can think of has been campaigning as strongly for Mike McCarthy to be the coach, because I think he clicks a lot of boxes. He's exactly what this team needs. So as soon as John Harbaugh gets fired, I mean, everybody that I could see on social or heard here, McMonagle was going nuts. You got to hire him right now, right this second, right this second. And when you look back at their, and you look at their resumes, they're extremely similar. So I question everybody, why does the love for John Harbaugh exceed Mike McCarthy's by leaps and bounds? I think they're more neck and neck as head coaches. That's just my personal opinion. I think both guys are very good, and I would be thrilled if either became the head coach.
Listen, my only thing is that McCarthy reminds me of Dable, right? He's a player's coach. And I know there's reports that Lamar Jackson was sleeping in the meetings and all this, that, and the other thing. But
you want
a taskmaster,
is what you're saying.
I want a little bit more of a taskmaster. And somebody on the Giants said it. They wanted more of a Tom Coughlin. I can't remember who quoted it in their exit interviews the other day. They want more of a Tom Coughlin type. And that's more of a CEO type like Harbaugh. I think this young team needs it. And I think McCarthy is more of a good old boy. You know, yeah, let's all have fun, you know. And that's great. But I think that
so you're saying that basically what you're saying here, and I've heard this before, not said totally just like you said it, but there is this perception that Mike McCarthy is not really the guy that would be a New York head coach. You know, maybe he'll go to Tennessee, maybe Atlanta, but the idea that Harbaugh, more of a Northeast guy, more of a, you know, blue collar, lunch pail, hard nose, like you said, taskmaster, not a player's coach. John Harbaugh would fit more of the mold here in New York.
That's my perception. Yeah. McCarthy's more of a good old boy. You know, he'll be hunting down in Tennessee. He'll take the boys out hunting, duck hunting, you know, duck and hunting. Have a good time with the players.
Yeah. I never understood. Sean, I got to be honest with you. I never understood the hunting thing, like to me, or the fishing thing. Both of them are, I don't want to get into like the others, but I'm just talking about just as far as the activity goes. Boring. I know a lot of people like to fish. My dad loves to fish. For me, and maybe this is exactly what it is, fishing is golfing, and golfing is fishing. And I like to golf. I never said I love to golf, but I've golfed most of my life. They're really just excuses to get away from your wife and kids, hang out in the sun, drink beer, and you feel accomplishment if you get a birdie or you catch a fish. Did I miss something in any one of those? That's what they are. And they're long activities. Honey, I'm going fishing. I'll see you in 16 hours. Honey, I'm going golfing because you're a nag and I want to get away from you. I'm going to go play golf. Because let's be real. If marriage didn't exist and kids didn't exist, then golf and fishing wouldn't exist either. Sorry, it wouldn't. Golf really just exists because of marriage. You want to get out of the house. Because you know why? Well, some people do. Joe, I'll give Joe a lot of credit, Beningo. He goes golfing with Terry, and that's, I think, an awesome thing. And he actually literally like won't go golfing unless Terry is there. But let's be real. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are just like golfing to get the heck away from their family. Which, I have no problem with that. I mean, everybody needs their thing. But if marriage didn't exist, nobody would fish. And it's not like we're back in the day, we got to fish to survive. You know, it's not, you know, 1600s. Because otherwise, and I've golfed. Golf is the most frustrating, aggravating, mentally wearing game in the history of the universe. It is probably the hardest sport there is. Yet but people love to go golf. Why? Because it gets them out of the house. It gets them away from the kids. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on, Luke? How you doing?
What's going on?
I got the perfect comment for the tanking.
What do you
business
got?
Decision.
Yeah,
business decision.
I like it,
and
Mario.
That's what it is.
I do like it.
Can I say one thing?
Yes, I
can
do
I
like
say
it.
One thing?
Yes, you can after this, but I just want to respond to it. Okay. I like it. I think it's a good one, but it's very similar to what somebody said earlier with hedging, where business decision is used a lot already. So I want something that's kind of new and unique.
Right, but the hedging word does not fit. Hedging is different. Hedging is you bet one way because you like a team, and then even if you lose, well, at least I won money. But if you win, then your team won. That's what hedging is.
Right, you're right. You know what? You're actually 100% right. The hedging did not apply at all because a hedge is more of a way to come out with a little bit of money.
The meaning of business decision, and I'll give you a perfect example of business decision on the football field. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I hear some people say it, like some of the announcers. The end of the game, Derrick Henry is running wild.
Yeah, and they don't
and
want to tackle.
Running out in the open, and there's a 20, and you got to tackle him, and you got to get in his chest. You're going to move out of the way. You don't want to get run over like a train when you're down by 30. You know?
Yeah,
that's a business decision, the way you tackle a guy.
But here's the thing, though. When someone says that, the guy on his couch with his hands down his pants, you know, drinking a beer, is going to say, what are you kidding me? That's not football. You got to tackle. So I feel like business decision has become negative. Like, people view business decision as selfish.
You know? I think it's the best, because you could interpret business decision different ways. You know, you can interpret it either way.
You can, but I think
that way or that way.
Yeah, but I think a lot, and I could be wrong here, but this is just me trying to, you know, get into the minds of everyone around here, the sports fan. When you hear somebody, like a player, he went into business for himself, or he had a business decision, it's very, like, selfish and not positive. And I think that's one of the things with the phrase is, it's got to be, again, new, unique, no negative connotation. The guy or gal in section, you know, whatever, 300 is not going to, what is this idiot doing? You know, making a business decision. Although I don't think they'd say, what is this idiot doing? He's draft strategizing. So it can't totally be that direction either. We'll get there. It could take a while. Honestly, let's go, you know, let's take forever so they keep re-upping my contract here. So let's not land on this one quickly. Let's take our time with this one. This doesn't have to be, this can be a very long journey. Like I said, I'm Frodo Baggins. We're going to Mordor. That was three movies. And I'm sure was it three books with Tolkien? I mean, and the books were like 6,000 pages, the Lord of the Rings books. So we could do a long journey here. You have never in your life, Paul, A, read a book, B, know the length of a Tolkien book with
I thought that was Game of Thrones.
What was?
Isn't Tolkien Game of Thrones?
No. He is Lord of the
Rings. Hogwarts?
No, Hogwarts, is, of course, the university that Harry Potter and the wizards attend. So you're in the right church, wrong pew. No, that would be...
I didn't know you were a Harry Potter guy.
And I'm not really a Harry Potter... Actually, Harry Potter's more for kids, and I was already in college when those movies were coming out, so I'm not the biggest of Harry Potter fans.
It's Lord of the Rings. That's what you're talking about, correct?
Yes. And Harry Potter is I just know the reference. I know that Hogwarts is the university that Harry and the other young wizards with special powers attend. No, I am referring to Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring, where they go on this journey to get the ring to Mordor to destroy it so that they can kill all evil. You know what I mean?
Was never into that.
Never.
I didn't get the Lord of the Rings stuff.
Yeah, you know,
it's fantasy land.
It's interesting, and my buddy Nick Costos says this almost every single show, and it always makes me laugh because I disagree with him on this, but it's totally preference. Nick will bring up the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and Nick says, I've seen every single movie. I'm happy that I did, but I will never watch another one again. Now, Nick's a busy guy. He's got a kid. He's got a wife. So maybe it's a time thing because the movies are very long. I'd love to get his answer or his take on that. For me, personally, I will watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy once every couple of years because I think they're that good. Like Fellowship of the Ring is one of my favorite movies of all time. I think it's excellent. I think it's the best in the series. I actually think it goes in order in terms of, you know, you have... Fellowship of the Ring, Two Towers, and then The Return of the King. I think the first one's the best, second one's the second best, and the third is the last. It's not for everybody, but you know what though, Rosie, you got a girlfriend now. She's clearly seen it because she's a normal human and you're a weirdo. I guarantee you she's seen the movies because she's like lived on this planet. But I would watch it with her and then get back to me. Report back to me on this.
I have no interest in it.
Well, what do you mean you don't have interest in it?
I have no interest in watching that movie.
But here's the problem.
I think Rocky's overrated. It's
But it's not a matter of what you think about movies or Rocky or anything like that. And you're not alone, but you will put down your hard-earned money. Lord knows you don't have a lot of it. To watch dogs walk around grass and jump into like trash cans. And they call it the Westminster dog show.
Lots of them. It's the Westminster dog show is the big one.
But you go to dog shows, and you can't watch Lord of the Rings.
The 150th Westminster dog show, which is the second longest running sporting event Kentucky Derby.
But it's not a sporting
event. It's February 2nd and 3rd.
But it's not a sporting event.
At the Garden, 150th
great plug,
year.
But it's not a sporting event. It's
I will be there covering for the station, usual.
You're not covering it for the station. The station's not going to pay for you to go anywhere. That's not happening. You may go there.
I will be covering it for the station.
You may mooch off the station's name, and they will have you there, but you're not covering it for the station.
As I've been doing the last few years. Sanders going to the
that's fine.
And AKP Meet the Breeds event at the Javits Center.
It's not. All due respect to them, I can't consider it a sporting event.
Win last year from Ty the Giant Schnauzer.
No, with the giant Schnauzer. I think it's a spectacle. I think it's a competition. I think that's the word I would use for it. Competition.
And there's a sport. Anything that's competition is a sport.
Do you think NASCAR is a sport?
Of course it's a sport.
Do you think table tennis is a sport?
Yes.
By the way.
How about the Marty Supreme thing?
Great call. So Marty Supreme, my main man, my friend Timothy Chalamet, is obviously the star in it. I have not seen it. Again, I don't go to the movies. Now, this one I wouldn't go to the movie for, but I definitely, definitely will check this out when it's on a streaming service. I've heard two different opinions on Marty Supreme. Have not seen it yet. I've heard the best thing ever or overhyped. My gut is it's somewhere in the middle because it always is. But I've heard Marty Supreme could be a little bit overhyped. And it is, by others, it says it's the amazing thing ever. Now, I am a Rotten Tomatoes guy. I don't know if you are. I'm a huge Rotten Tomatoes guy. I live by it. If you don't know what it is, it's a site online where they review movies. And you get the critics review, but just as important, the fan review. Because I think that's different. Like there are certain movies that I love when I look at the reviews. Maybe the critics loved it more than the fans, or maybe the fans loved it more than the critics. At the end of the day, I'm a fan, so I go more towards what the fans think. The fans rated it 83% afresh, which is good. That's a good rating. And the critics, 94%. So my read was spot on here. So my guess is it's one of those movies where the critics think it's the greatest thing ever. It's a 94%. And then the audience, they think it's really, really good. They just don't think it's a 94%. So really, it's like an 88% if we're cutting in the middle, which is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And my girl, Fran Drescher, who, I mean, she's in that. And you talk about, I mean, the fastball has not been lost. I mean, I as a kid that grew up in the 90s, my mom was a huge Nanny fan. I mean, Fran Drescher. People think I talk much about talk a lot about Sydney Sweeney. Yeah, I got other people to talk about, but I don't want to seem like a total creep mentioning a million women. You know, Fran Drescher, who's somebody who's just really has not lost the fastball.
You know who I thought you were going to say? Marissa Tomei.
Love Tomei as well. Marissa Tomei, and really all versions of Marissa Tomei. So we're talking, obviously, My Cousin Vinny, which she won an Academy Award for, but another one that was great was The Wrestler. She was just terrific in that. Now, she played a stripper in that, but that had nothing to do with it. I mean, she was just fantastic in it. I think Marissa Tomei, one of the best, you know, actresses really, really of our generation. I mean, My Cousin Vinny is another one that I don't like watching on TV because they bleep out the curses. But it's so good, same with Goodfellas, that I will watch it even with the curses in it. All right, back to the calls. I've been talking too much. I know the internet's going to get mad. It's about the fan. Talk to the fan. Let the fans talk. Okay, that's fine. I'm on for 5 hours, Franco. So really, I could talk, you could talk, we could all talk. Someone's got to fill the space for 5 hours. So I figured I'll do the heavy lifting. But a lot of people don't like that. So, Franco, what do you got, man?
I got a phrase for tanking.
Yes.
And per your suggestion, I want to give a quick presentation.
Yeah.
So you gave a constraint. No negative word or phrase.
Correct. I think that's important, Franco, because I think we're trying to get the negativity out of it. So by adding negativity to it, I think is counterproductive.
Right. You also stated that this particular tanking would have been a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity because of the Jets' needs and their draft picks.
Yeah, for the Giants to have the number one overall pick and trade it to the Jets for all their picks. Correct. Right. Yes, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Many long-lasting renaming of action verbs, and tanking is an action verb, go to the famous inventor, like Xeroxing is for copying, and Googling is for word searching. So two questions, and then I'll give you the phrase.
Okay.
Who is the most positive person on WFAN?
That would be the generational talent himself, Thomas Lugauer.
Loogie, that's right.
Yes.
And who is the GM of the Jets?
That would be Moogie.
That's right. So this particular tanking, if the Giants didn't screw it up, would have been called a Loogie for Moogie. And over time, it would have just been generalized and shortened to its famous inventor, just a Loogie.
I, you know what, Franco? And I appreciate the call. Staten Island, the Shaolin Land. you're right. The presentation and look, I you know who doesn't who, you know egomaniac. You involved me. How can I end the Loogie, the Moogie? Your presentation was a 10 out of 10. It was a 10 out of 10. So I give you credit for that. We're not going to go with it, but the presentation was absolutely fantastic. Let's go to Mitchell in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitchell? Okay, Mitchell is joining us from outer space. We'll just get to make sure. Mission control to Mitchell in Fort Lee. No problem, by the way. Because you know what? Sometimes I'm sitting here, I'm talking too much, you're on hold. I get it. And you're driving, and then when I go to you, you know, you're in the car, you're in a wind tunnel. You're doing whatever you're doing, Mitch. So really, that's on me. That's on me, my friend, not on you. That's a total on me. We have you back now. What do you got for us?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Boogie, so here we go. So here's the first thing. Sorry about that. I was going over the Frog's Neck Bridge. When you go over the Frog's Neck Bridge, you hit a dead spot. So that's where you like her and get
How many cars are we, how many cars are we looking at on the Frog's Neck at this time of the hour? Because as a radio host, especially during contract season, I want to know if there are a lot of cars on the radio at 10:30 so that I could say I have a huge audience. What would you say there's a lot or no?
No, not tonight. I think maybe I just passed. Maybe there's one, three, five cars total, maybe. Okay. There's not much out tonight.
Right. So, okay, all right, so Mitch, I'm not going to hire you as my agent. See, that was the part where you said there's a ton of cars on the air or on the radio so that my bosses, when they're listening, they go, wow, there's a massive audience at 10:30. We're going to give Tommy a raise. But that's okay, Mitch, because you know what? Next time, there's always, we could do a redo. You know what I mean? So next time when I tee up for that, nobody knows it's a lie. So we're just going to tell everybody there's a ton of cars. But what do you have with the Giants?
Okay, fine. Yeah, I've listened to everyone call the fan all day today and talking about everybody wants two coaches. Mm. Okay, they want Harbaugh or the other guy.
Kevin Stefanski, you're talking about, right?
Yes, okay, right, right. Now, but here you go. From the Ravens, you had a coach that couldn't screw up the playoffs because he didn't take a running back, his name is Henry, and run the ball and give it to him so he would have made the playoffs 2 weeks ago, but he didn't do it.
Correct.
And so everybody wants a coach that says,
well,
oh,
3 weeks
so
ago. You're talking about the Patriot game. That was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, the Patriots game, but even last game, even Sunday night, what happened? Yeah. Where was Henry the second half?
Yeah.
That's because it's the coach. It's not about the players. So everybody that calls the fan today, everyone says, well, we want him as the coach. I mean, Big Mac was so happy about it. I mean, you watch him with his smile today when Craig called. It's like, I thought he was going to fall off his chair, but it was pretty funny. But it's unbelievable. What they should do is the Giants should go look for a young head coach in the college ranks and go get someone that can do it, because you're bringing guys in here that, because they've been coaching for so many years, that they say, well, they're worth doing it. What has he done? He won one championship 12 years ago. What has he done the last 5 years? And you want to tell me about a quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go with this one.
Yeah.
You want to tell me that he's going to take the Giants quarterback, he's going to do something with him? What did he do with Lamar Jackson? Lamar Jackson, in every big game that he's made the playoffs, you know what's happened? They have lost.
Yeah.
He can't win a big game. He's
right.
Never won a big game. So I don't understand why everyone keeps calling. They want these guys. You know what? They had the one they should have got was, and everyone blew it, the Jets blew it and the Giants blew it, is a guy from New England. That's the guy they should have taken, and that's the bottom line to it.
Yeah, and Mitch, and I appreciate the call. I appreciate the passion. A couple things there. Number one, I don't like going, because we had a caller earlier that brought up Cignetti from Indiana. I don't like going the college head coach route into the pros. I don't, because I think that there's been so many different examples of guys that have come from college into the pros and that have failed. It's a totally different animal, even with, and I'll give you this, and maybe in a couple years I'll change my opinion on this, because I'm fair and college football is changing and evolving. The game now is different because of NIL deals. Kids are getting paid that we know about, or at least they tell us now. The transfer portal. So there's basically like free agency. So it's a different animal in college now than it used to be. It's not like there's a reason why the Final Four teams are no blue bloods. Miami used to be, my cousin went to Miami. Miami is no longer a college football blue blood. And they have an insane history. So maybe I'd retake that thought or rethought that take. But Indiana, definitely not. Oregon, close, but I wouldn't put them there. And Ole Miss, no. But the reason, number one, the college football playoff, it allows for more parity, but also because of transfer portals, NIL. Like, Indiana built their program because of transfer portals and money. So now the playing field is a little bit more even between teams. That doesn't mean that, and I brought this up earlier and I probably annoyed people, I think a guy like Cignetti will leave Indiana if a bigger job comes up in college. I'm sorry. Like, you are Indiana. You can win a national championship. You could be good for the next 5 years. But if Ohio State, Notre Dame came a calling, he's going there. Because that's just the way it works. Because it doesn't take, it takes more than 5 years to become a blue blood program. It's very tough to break in. And very few people at a non-blue blood school stick around forever. And this one's really going to piss people off. But Syracuse is not a blue blood basketball program. Sorry, it's not. But Boeheim stayed there forever. He never moved on. But that's rare. Not a blue blood. Duke, blue blood. North Carolina, blue blood. UConn, blue blood. Syracuse, not a blue blood. Didn't Syracuse just lose to Hofstra? And shout out to Hofstra. My boy, Speedy Claxton, my guy out there. And I grew up very close to Hofstra. So shout out. I mean, Syracuse, a blue blood basketball program? No. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's take this one real quick. I know we've been on the air forever here, but my voice is holding up, and the audience won't remember this conversation if we do it in the next segment. And it's not totally sports-related, but it is something that we were just having a debate about, myself and Rosenberg. Let's go to Dale in Rockaway. What's up, Dale?
All right, I just want to say two things, right?
Yeah.
First thing is, just because something is a competition doesn't make it a sport. For example, a beauty pageant is a competition, not a sport. Okay, that's number one. But number two, the Westminster Dog Show, because I'm trying to be fair to both sides.
Yeah.
That is definitely a sport, because those dogs train like professional athletes. I mean, they're doing all kinds of stuff.
No, but they are they training or are they being trained? Like, the dog themselves are not doing that. The dog doesn't wake up and goes, you know what, I want to be a Westminster dog. Like, I'm getting trained by my, you know what I mean? So I guess so is horse racing a sport?
Horse racing is definitely a sport.
But the horse is being trained to run around the track. But they didn't wake up and they didn't dream their whole lives of being secretariat. Somebody wanted them to be secretariat, mostly rich people.
But they still had to put in the work. They still had to run the laps. They still had to, you know, do all the stuff. It's like you got like, all right, like six.
So, but wait a second. Then why would? But isn't that the same for somebody that enters a beauty pageant? But you just call that a competition. They put in the work. They train. They have a skill. They obviously work on their body and their looks and their mind and everything. So why do you draw the line at that? But then beauty competition should be a sport.
Because, like, nah, man. Like, competition is like, no, that's a competition. Sport is something different. It's like you have the same against each other.
But they're great people over there, and Rosenberg has a good relationship with them. So I don't want it to feel like I'm shading them, because I'm not. But I for anybody that's gone to a dog show, do they consider themselves going to a sporting event, or do they consider themselves going to a wonderful competition, spectacle, this amazing animals? Like, to me, it's like, and I'm not comparing it like to the circus or anything, but because it's not, but it's like the circus, a sporting event. I'm just, and Rosie's giving me a look. I'm just trying to figure out where we draw the lines with this stuff. It's interesting. I think it really is. All of these stuff are great,
right,
entertainment.
One more thing. You know? One more thing.
Yeah.
To Rosie. You gotta watch Lord of the Rings, man. It's like, it's amazing. I stuck up for you, but I gotta stick with my guy Luki here. You gotta watch Lord of the Rings.
Of course.
It's just never, I was never attracted to it. Even like growing up, you know, Final Fantasy VII, those types of
video games.
Yeah. It's the same thing. I just never, what's the point of watching some little guy try to get a ring? I don't know.
Well, isn't that kind of like you right now with your girlfriend? Anyway, so. I hear you, because sci-fi is not for everyone. But this is what I would say, Paul, and for anybody out there listening. You have to have, I always want to have an open mind when it comes to movies. All entertainment, because we just brought up, like right now, I am, and we are not doing this on the air, so don't even bother doing it, but if you want to do it on Twitter, at Tommy Lugauer, 100%, you can hit me up on Twitter. If you call, I can't put you on, because I can't. We can't talk about it. I think it would be cool to talk about. We can't. I am in the process of adopting a Premier League soccer team. I don't know where I'm going. I have a couple of interesting candidates, Nottingham Forest being one of them, Fulham being another one. There's the one that the stadium is of, the Stadium of Lights. I forgot their name, but that's another one that I'm thinking about. Again, do not call me. If you want to hit me up on Twitter with suggestions, because I know a lot of people in the audience are soccer fans, especially the younger part of the audience, but soccer just hasn't become that conversation we can have on the radio yet. We just, it's just, it's not happening. But hit me up on Twitter about it. Point is, what's a sport? What's not a sport? What's a competition? What's a show? It's all forms of entertainment. So I think you should be open-minded to entertainment, because when I sit down and watch soccer, I think it's awesome. Not the biggest hockey guy, but when I sit down, it's awesome. I've watched the dog show before because I know Paulie's interested, and I'm like, oh, yeah, it's cute. It's awesome. It's cool. I get it. I think it's really cool. When it comes to movies, I don't like being closed-minded. So whether, even if I don't like the genre, if somebody tells me you have to check this movie out, it's awesome, or have to check this TV show out, it's awesome, even if it's not my cup of tea, I will check it out because I have an open mind when it comes to that stuff. All right. We're getting back to the Giants, John Harbaugh, the coaching search, the Jets. Next hour, a little baseball. There's a rumor going around, a report going on about some of the teams that are interested or are really pursuing Kyle Tucker that I think you're going to want to hear about. Cody Bellinger and the Yankees are reportedly a little bit far apart on the contract negotiations. So we're going to dive into the baseball, but we're going to stick heavy with the football as well with your calls. Got you for another hour here. It's a five-hour after-hour special. Midnight, Al Cintron comes your way at that time. The Fan Focus is brought to you by Chef IQ, precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. Okay, the Rangers, a team that we haven't talked about a lot tonight, but they had an interesting day, and a tough day, really, because they had to place Igor and Adam Fox on IR. Shesterkin, by the way. If you didn't think I didn't want to pull a Francesa there by not knowing how to say his last name. I do know how to say his last name. But when you get to the fourth hour of your show, you worry about the tongue-tying. And then if I mess up Shesterkin, I get the hockey people on me. And the hockey people are relentless. I mean, you mess up something and then the hockey people are all over you. But Igor, Adam Fox on IR. And this is on the heels of the Rangers suffering another home loss. They are now 5-10-4 this year at MSG, which is nuts when you think about it. Like, I know home ice isn't as important as it is in other sports. You see that all the time in the NHL playoffs where home ice necessarily isn't the deciding factor. It comes down more to the goaltender and just your style than necessarily home ice. You'd love to have home ice, but it's not as big as it sometimes you could see in NFL and baseball and basketball. But still, the Rangers are 5-10-4 at MSG this year, 20-18 overall in the season, and they're going to try to get right with their backup goalie, Jonathan Quick, at home Thursday against the Sabres. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is Tommy Lugauer, After Hours on the Fan. After Hours, positive Tommy. No longer a prime time here, but it is Lugie in the late night. Big news story day. Obviously, John Harbaugh, if you're just tuning in, if you're just driving home from work, getting in your car, putting on the Odyssey app, number one, I appreciate you listening. Thank you. And I look forward to talking to you guys and gals every single night here or, you know, when I'm on the air. I'm not going to talk to you when I'm not on the air. I'm like Bradley Cooper in that scene in The Hangover where it's summer and the kids come up to him and it's like, it's summer, I do not know you. No, I'm just teasing. Actually, I doubt this person's listening, but somebody recognized me in Penn Station, which is always cool and always awesome. I had my headphones on, and it's Penn Station, around 5 o'clock or whatever it was, so it was very hectic. And I hear Tommy, and I was like, hey, what's up, bro? And then I kind of walk past, because it's kind of like one of those things where it's fast, you're moving, you're trying to get to the train. So, number one, if that person is listening, I apologize. I should have stopped for a second and chatted with you. So that's on me. And for anybody out there, if you ever see me, I know you only hear me, so you don't know what I look like. But if you see me, don't ever hesitate to say what's up. But if it's on, but that's the only days I'm working. So like, if I'm not working and you say anything to me, I'll ignore you. I'll be like, I do not know you. I'm teasing. But yeah, so we look forward to it here. I'll be doing Sunday in the Mondays overnights. That's the schedule. I don't want to pull Tony Page here and tell you all the nights I'm working, but I think it's important with the new show, and I love Tony Page. I love Tony, but Tony would give you the schedule. And I'll be here, I'll be there. But now I understand it because Tony kind of had one of those schedules where he was all over the place. Not that I'm going to be that, you know, all over the place, but Sunday into Monday overnights, and then Monday through Thursday evening, 7 to 12, like tonight with no game. When there is a game, I'll be on after the game. Okay, so I'm on tomorrow night after Nets basketball. We'll figure around 10:30. All right, so as far as John Harbaugh, first and foremost, I would love it if the Giants hired him. He is exactly what I've been screaming about in terms of qualifications, the adult in the room, a guy who's a program builder, has had success, has the right type of personality. That's what the Giants need. You can't go the coordinator route. They need a head coach with experience. John Harbaugh fits that bill. My issue with the Harbaugh craze, because that's what it is right now as far as the reaction that I've seen to it, is why doesn't Mike McCarthy get that same type of excitement? When I give you John Harbaugh's resume, you're going to be very impressed. He's won a Super Bowl. He has an over 600 winning percentage. He's 13-11 in the playoffs. He's made the playoffs 12 times. He has 11 seasons of double-digit wins. Excellent. Who wouldn't want that as their head coach? That's why everybody's so pumped up for him to be, you know, out there and available. Let me give you Mike McCarthy's resume. Super Bowl champ. Beat Mike Tomlin in the Super Bowl, too, by the way. And John, of course, but beat his brother, Jim. 600 600 winning percentage for McCarthy, 11-11 in the playoffs, 12 playoff appearances, 11 double-digit win seasons. So same amount of playoff appearances, same amount of seasons with double-digit wins. Harbaugh is 13-11 in the playoffs, McCarthy's 11-11, so very similar, and they're both over 600 as far as regular season winning percentage, and they both won a Super Bowl. So please, I ask you, point to something where John Harbaugh is head and shoulders a better head coach than Mike McCarthy. Because I don't think he is. I think they're neck and neck as far as the top candidates. A person I don't think is, and that's someone who's getting interviewed tomorrow, is Kevin Stefanski. I would not under any circumstances hire him if I was the Giants to be the head coach. I think he's Brian Daboll 2.0. Stefanski's a guy that got fired. Like John Harbaugh, they're getting rid of him in Baltimore because it's been, 18 years. They feel like it's time to move on. What better time than a year where you don't make the playoffs, you lose in the final week of the season, you get knocked out by your hated rival. If you were ever going to move on from Harbaugh, this is the year. Kevin Stefanski got fired because he was a failure with the Browns. A failure. He won one playoff game. He had two winning seasons in 6 years. First year, he won Coach of the Year, much like Brian Daboll, won a playoff game in his first year, much like Brian Daboll. And in his last two seasons in Cleveland, much like Brian Daboll, Kevin Stefanski had no success. None. 8 combined wins in his last two seasons. Yet everybody has anointed this guy as the next great head coach in the league. Only problem is he had a 6-year run with the Browns where he was, in fact, not great. Not great. And yet people want to hire him with an under 500 winning percentage, one playoff win. If he was so great, why didn't Cleveland keep him? Like, he's 43 years old. Because I know what you're saying right now. Well, Loogie, the quarterback play. Okay. So how come Browns ownership doesn't feel that way? Now you want to tell me they're having a disagreement with who should the quarterback be? They want Shador, he doesn't? That's possible. But if he's as great as everybody says and thinks, then why is Cleveland moving on from him? And if the situation in Cleveland is so bad at quarterback and it's not Stefanski's fault, why are the Cleveland Browns blaming him? Maybe it's more than me. Like, you are, like, was that a Parcells line? You are what your record says you are. That's it. Period. You can make all the excuses. You could say it was this, it was that, it was, oh, well, you know, and that, and ooh, and ah. Kevin Stefanski had two winning seasons in 6 years in Cleveland and won one playoff game. And that's the guy that you want to entrust with not only your young quarterback, because could I wrap my head around Kevin Stefanski as far as his experience and the coaching tree that he has come from and the offensive mind that he is? Do I think it makes sense for him to work with Jackson Dart? Yes, of course. Sure. But that's not all the job is about. It's not just developing Jackson Dart. Let's be real. Jackson Dart is already where he needs to be. I mean, Jackson Dart in his rookie year was sensational. The one thing you look at is he needs to protect himself a little bit more, which he's got to figure out. Now, the coach has to remind him of that, but protecting yourself is more of a player thing on the field. I want a coach that can come in here and win games. I'm tired of let's bring in Shermer and McAdoo and Judge and Daboll and all these coordinators. It'll be great. And I know Kevin Stefanski was a head coach, but not successful. I want to bring in somebody that wins games routinely because the Giants have not won a lot of games in the last decade or so. Outside of a playoff appearance here against the Packers, a playoff appearance and win against the Vikings, and then they get smashed by the Eagles. It's been nothing but losing seasons, and not even competitively losing seasons. I'm talking about 3, 4, or 5 wins. you got to get back on track here, and you got to get back on track in a big time way. Because you now have something that all teams around the league that don't have this search high or near and far, whatever the phrase is, for. And that is a young, talented franchise quarterback that you can build your team around and that you could set up yourselves for success over the next 10 or 15 years. And the last thing you want to do, because here's the other part of this too. You bring in Dable, he goes. Then you bring in Stefanski. What if he's a disaster and in 3 years he's gone? So now Jackson Dart is on his third head coach. There's no continuity. There's no culture building. There's just more losing. Like, why would you bring in a guy that lost a lot to a team that you got to build a winning culture with? Why would you do that? Does Kevin Stefanski know how to win? He won two. He had two winning seasons in 6 years with the Browns. That's a winning head coach. He's got an under 500 career record. One playoff win. I don't see it, and I don't get it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get back to those calls, I promise, on the Giants, on their head coaching search, on the Jets as well. Where do they factor in on this? Who, in fact, might be the mystery team? In case you missed it, there is a report out there from Adam Schefter that a mystery team that is currently employing a head coach, they have reached out to John Harbaugh's camp. So there is a team clearly thinking about firing their head coach. We'll give you some thoughts on that as well. A little baseball, too. Mets, Yankees. A lot to get into in the last hour, after hours. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.